Welcome to the Daily Flow. Please welcome your host, John Coleman.
Product owner is commonly misunderstood. Like lots of things in life, it is basically abused. So what kind of misinterpretations have I seen so far? One of the misinterpretations that I've seen is that the product owner is like a scribe. They just take orders. A waiter that doesn't really add much value in a restaurant, for example. They just take the orders. They don't really have any say in terms of what's going on. And then you have maybe a proxy, someone who doesn't actually have any authority, has been given the job because the person actually with the authority is too busy. So this person does the donkey work, so to speak. Not very gratifying work, because as soon as the team figures out that actually you don't have any say in what the priorities are, the team just starts making up their own priorities. So it's usually a good idea to try and become some kind of business representative, some representative of the customer, the end user, in terms of what's going on. And when you're in that space, you can network with the people who care about that space, and you have a little bit more say. Ideally, you'd be maybe, well, not even ideally, I'd say sub-ideally, you'd be a sponsor, you'd have the budget, at least you'd have the budget for the product, and you'd be able to maximize value and decide which items we're going to deliver, what goals are we trying to achieve within the budget that we have and so on. But the ideal product owner would be an entrepreneurial product owner. Someone who acts like an entrepreneur, could be an intrapreneur actually. Someone who is really keen to find that next curve, as Guy Kawasaki said in his TED Talk, his famous TED Talk, growing 100 flowers to try and see which flowers actually go off. Like lots of things in life, product owners can be suboptimal in terms of what they do. They're misunderstanding. They're, for example, spending most of the time writing stories, for example, using stories in Scrum, an option structure for how you write product backlog items. There are lots of different product backlog item types, like experiments and so on. Some product owners are writing user stories. That is not what a product owner should be doing. A lot of people are sometimes business analysts, come across some very good business analysts, and they're gathering requirements and they're clarifying requirements and all this kind of thing, and because they have skills in terms of interviewing customers and end users. But in Scrum, we're not supposed to be really clarifying requirements, we're supposed to be clarifying problems to solve. In addition to that, Michael James has some wonderful videos on YouTube about some misconceptions about Scrum in your organization, where within one product, people have a product owner per team. And so that's an even less empowered product owner than you would expect. In Scrum, there's one for one product, which is essentially something that someone pays for either with money or with their data. I'm oversimplifying now, but it's not like some internal platform usually. One product, one product backlog, one product owner. And an entrepreneurial product owner would delegate a lot of the product backlog management to the developers and the team. That makes a lot of sense, because really we want the product owner to clarify what direction we're going in. They might come up with some optional vision. There's a product goal in Scrum now. And so there's a product goal that the Scrum team commits to, and the product owner creates or co-creates, I guess. The product owner needs to communicate that, articulate that, manage the politics, manage expectations, connect with customers, end users, do lots of visits, all these kinds of things, and collaborate with the Scrum teams on what will we deliver the next sprint in terms of what goal are we aiming for in terms of less. There's no goal as such for the entire product group. In Nexus, you might have a Nexus sprint goal, so all teams within the Nexus would essentially commit to a goal, if you like, that is something that we're trying to achieve. It's some focus that we want to have. So when I'm talking about product owner here, I'm talking about an entrepreneurial product owner. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, because I want to drill into a little bit of detail. There are lots of overlaps also between entrepreneurial product owner and product leader. Product manager is a bit different. Product manager is, it's perfectly okay for there to be a product manager within each team, pouring over all the analytics and acquiring lots of knowledge. And we'll get into that in a bit more detail today. But I'm going to try to compare apples with apples a little bit. Still not quite apples with apples, but as close as I can get, an entrepreneurial product owner versus a product leader. And it's just my opinion. So take this with a pinch of salt. So the first thing is that the product owner needs to be observing, needs to be listening. If they're a 21st century product owner, they're getting out of the building. They're listening to real customers. They're going to see how people are actually using the product. They're not asking, what would they do? Lots of people have very idealistic views of what they would like to do, but what they do and what they would like to do can be very different. So go and see what do customers really do? What jobs are they trying to get done? Acquiring knowledge about the market, about the customer, and so on, all really, really crucial. The entrepreneur product owner is there to create value, not only to create value, but also to understand value, different perspectives in terms of like market values and customer end user value, or maybe knowledge value in terms of learning about where the value, where the customer end user value might be. It could be some kind of sustainability goal value. It could be organizational value. There's lots of different nuances around value. It's not purely about customers and end users. So they understand value and they maximize it. And in order to maximize it, a really good entrepreneurial product owner understands that most ideas should never be born. And to discover that, you use discovery, you run some experiments, cheap experiments that don't put the brand of the organization at risk. We're careful about how we experiment. And we treat learning as the first citizen when we do discovery. So there's a real emphasis on discovery with an entrepreneurial product owner. So I'm not talking about feature factory type mentality here. This is a really outcome goal-oriented product owner. I'm trying to compare the best possible cases because really there's no bottom to how low a product owner can go in terms of low quality, in terms of what can be done as a product owner. Similar to a debate I had about scaling frameworks a few years ago, I had to compare them as though they were implemented the best way possible because they can all be infinitely badly done, and equally product ownership can be infinitely badly. The product owner will be having discussions with teams, but spends a lot of time with customers, end users, also internal stakeholders in terms of the politics, because sometimes perception is important as well, because we don't want our teams get killed for the wrong reason when we're doing really well with the external market. They kill products as well. So really good entrepreneurial product owners understand that we need focus. To have more focus might mean we might need to kill some of our own products. We might even need to disrupt some of our own products by creating competing products before competitors do. A really good entrepreneurial product owner will accept that each customer has their own washing instructions. As a hat tip to PM Maria Thurian, who gave me that little metaphor, I really like that. And scouts for unmet customer needs, looking for new customers, looking for new products through discovery and meeting customers, and they say no. So some of the things that they do less of would be less pushing work into teams when they're not ready to take the work. I'm hearing lots of stories of product owners pushing work in, complaining about Scrum team members who aren't being the big citizens and taking on work and overloading themselves. Really bad behavior. And it's really disappointing to hear that people basically being very cynical about product ownership, essentially just relabeling old roles and pretending they're product owners. So like I said earlier on, it can be infinitely bad. So trying to avoid push, not treating commitments as guarantee, not paying tax for precision. So not doing over excessive upfront work to try to get a better answer, build something quickly or running some experiments quickly and get some feedback from the market. Avoiding a situation where teams are unaligned, where they're basically going in all different directions, unless it's a purposeful experimentation strategy because you don't know which way to go. Avoiding writing stories as well, writing product backlog items. Not broadcasting, actually having more two-way conversations, not acting like superhero. Not making massive bets. And I'm not saying don't ever do it, but do less of the massive bets. You can win really big or you can lose really big. And a lot of the lean startup thinking came from people burning lots of venture capital funding in the early 2000s, late 1990s. So smaller bets, because most of our ideas are actually wrong. So really, lots of conversations with the customer, with the end user. That's my summary of an entrepreneurial product owner. If we then look at a product leader, you'll see a lot of similarities here, but there's a lot of extra stuff, a lot of extra stuff. So with the observations, it's a bit deeper, because not only are they getting out of the building to go see, they're learning the language of the other functions. They're trying to speak in their terms, learning the accounting terms, the formulas, the understanding all the lingo, being able to have really good conversations, being credible in the boardroom in terms of being able to make a case, and really good written narratives and so on. Also, if it's a global organization, acquiring regional knowledge and specific market knowledge as well, understanding the nuances between the markets. They would also create value, would also kill products. They would also understand the washing instructions. They would also be scouts for untapped needs. They would also understand value and try to maximize value and inspire others through a vision and so on. But they would also act as a performance coach for product managers. And I loved one of Marty Kagan's quotes a few weeks ago when I was talking to him on the Exigility podcast. And he said, a product leader can be measured by the poorest performing product manager. So you need to be doing performance coaching, helping your product managers to improve, not just mentoring, but coaching, really helping them to lift their game. But there's lots of other stuff that happens in the product management world, product leadership world. I don't even have the full list here, just some examples here in terms of maybe continuous delivery, reducing technical debt, poring over the analytics, pricing, impact mapping, trying to deliver something as early as possible and getting feedback, road mapping, surveys, A/B testing, market research, business modeling, product vision, product strategy, and so on. The list goes on and on. And so in the scrum.org professional scrum product owner class, there's a sentence that's mentioned about a product owner being an agile product manager, but that can often be misunderstood. The way you, depending on which word you emphasize, you misunderstand what's meant by that. It doesn't mean PO equals product manager. It means that you have a product manager or product leader, I would say in this case, from the point of view of an entrepreneurial product owner. A really good product owner would be a product leader who happens to have the agile skills as well that are tapped onto that. So the problem that I understand Marty Kagan talked about in his blog is that when people go to product owner class, the content is reasonably good in terms of, for example, PSPO is quite clear in terms of it saying, look, we're not teaching you about this stuff in product management. We're making you aware that it's there. We're teaching all this product owner stuff. They even go in a little bit into some of the product management stuff, business modeling, visioning, and things like that. And the product owner advanced class goes even more into it. But in fairness, they're being explicit about what they're not teaching. And so what's happening is people go to these product owner advanced classes, and they're assuming that they're being taught about product management as well. And actually, there's additional training needed to become a really good product manager and product leader. There's specific content that you need to be exposed to. In some companies, they do. They have kind of apprenticeship programs where they're developing people to learn these skills. And I've noticed actually that there's a few new offerings in the market where you can basically go online and you can learn about all this stuff. My tip would be that if you want to be an entrepreneurial product owner, but you don't want to miss out on the product leadership side, the product management side, you really need to get yourself educated on product management and all the ins and outs of product management. And you need to be willing to invest lots of time learning. So could be like 4 to 6 months learning about you might have been brilliant in Amazon or somewhere like that. When you come into this organization, do you understand all the people? Do you understand how the organization works? Do you understand the customer? You have to learn all that again. You might have very good skills already, but you need to learn what's going on in this organization as well so that you can really be effective. And so that's one of the issues, assuming that when you go to product owner training that you're already taught in product management. That is not the case. There is a subset of it covered, but you're not completely covered. And the other thing is just making sure that you've got a trainer who's got product leadership experience as well. So one of the things that I decided to do, even though I have product leadership experience in tech and non-tech, it's been a bit of a while. What I'm doing now is I'm partnering with the current product leaders to deliver training with me. So I'll be bundling my training from now on. So the classes I've already got listed for product owner and for product owner advanced, beyond the courses that I've got currently listed, I will only be offering those training classes if I'm bundling the training with product management, product leadership training as well, so that I'm not contributing to the myths that people have about product manager equals product owner. There's an intersection between them. There are differences. I've shown you some of the what's in common and what's different, but just be no doubt that you need to learn about that stuff. So try to pick a trainer who's got current product leadership experience, and also just don't make the mistake as well of thinking that because you've got, if you're in an organization as a leader, I think you've got product owners, don't make the mistake of thinking they're also product managers, product leaders. There's more strings they need to add to their bow before they can really say that. So I hope this talk was helpful. Feel free to reach out to me directly on social media.
Got a question for us? Leave a voice message at anchor.fm/dailyflow/message, and we'll feature it as well as provide you with an answer.